Good day, and welcome to the Fagron conference call regarding the acquisition of Sidrosa in Mexico. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Rafael Padilla, our CEO, and Karen Dijon, our CFO. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Hello, everyone. Good morning. My name is Rafael Padilla, CEO of Fagron, and together with me today, Karen Dijon, CFO, and Constantine Fritz-Souten, our Chief Communication Officer. We are very happy to announce the acquisition of Sidrosa in Mexico, and by this, we enter the promising Mexican market. The Mexican market shares the same economic and growth drivers as the Brazilian one and offers a blue sea in terms of personalized medicine. If we start about Sidrosa is a company founded in 1905 by the Stein family, a German family who went into Mexico at the beginning of the 19th century. Today, the Stein family has its fifth generation in the company, giving, of course, great stability in it. Culturally, both Fagron and Sidrosa are very much aligned. Regarding Sidrosa's business, Sidrosa is the local reference in the essential business, the raw materials, for both compounding pharmacies and mid-sized industries, 40-60 when we look at revenue split. We see huge similarities in product portfolio with us. So as we all can understand, this will be automatically, so as from day one, leverage. On the brand and innovation side, we will start, together with the global and the Brazilian team, to introduce Fagron brands and concepts into the Mexican market. Regarding the compounding or personalized medicine market in Mexico, we see a lot of potential. Today, we estimate that a 150 million U.S. market value is, being essentials, of course, 15, 20 million mainly in dermatology. So this is the perfect field for a nice growth story as the one we saw and see now in Brazil. So, Karen, if you want to take over.
Yes, thank you, Rafa. Good morning, everybody. So we look at the size of Sidrosa. Sidrosa has a reported turnover of 22.5 million euros and an EBITDA margin of 14.5%. The acquisition price for Sidrosa amounts to 16.5 million in cash with a potential for an earn out linked to the profitability of the company and maximized at 5.2 million, making the maximum amount of the acquisition equal to 21.7 million. The acquisition will be financed from the existing debt facilities of Fagron. So with this, I want to conclude the summary of the acquisition of Sidrosa. Operator, we're ready for questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. We will take our first question of Matthias Manouche of Kepler. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple of questions is, can you elaborate a little bit on the business plan that is baked out into the earnout? Can you also give us a little bit more guidance if management stays on board? What was the reason for selling for the selling shareholders, and what has been the historical growth rate of the company? And also, can you elaborate a little bit on the competitive environment in Mexico? Thank you.
Thank you, Matthias. Regarding the competitive landscape in Mexico and the motives of the shareholders to be part of the team, the Mexican market, as we said, is in a very infancy phase. So we see three local distributors or competitors within the compounding and the industrial small to mid-sized industries. Sidrosa is leading this market, right? So this gives us a lot of potential on further growth. When we look at historical growth rates at Sidrosa, there were approximately mid-single-digit growth year on year. So you see on a yearly base a nice revenue growth. And of course, as we were saying before, the fifth generation of the Stein family is on board, and as we all can understand, when we have a fifth generation with a lot of cousins involved, and of course Fagron passed by, so we contacted them, as we were analyzing to enter the Mexican market, they were very happy with the idea to be part of the Fagron family. And of course, having a better future for the whole family who were there staying, right? The managerial partners of the family, that is Eduardo and Brigitte mainly, will stay. And one of the three members of the managerial board of the family, that is Rob, who is approximately 70 years old, will now enjoy of a well-deserved holiday, for sure. So we keep the guys on board. They are very happy. They are very motivated. And we have a very nice group story within Cedrosa. Maybe, Karin, you can elaborate on the earnout.
Yeah, so the earnout is based on the growing profitability levels in the coming 2 years. The first year, a hurdle EBITDA needs to be achieved, and in the second year, the growth in EBITDA will be measured, and based on that, an amount will be paid, and the maximum earnout will be 5.2 million euros.
Right. Maybe just one follow-up. The margin of the company is 14.5%. Do you see potential to grow this to average margins of Fagron?
We estimate, Matthias, that within 3 to 5 years, we can bring it to 20%.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Matthias.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Anastasia Karpova of Kempen. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi. Congrats on the acquisition. I wanted to follow up on this remark about 3 to 5 years to get to 20%. Historically, it looks like you were integrating businesses, especially essential businesses, faster than that, especially in terms of improving profitability. So can you elaborate a little bit more about considerations that go into the estimate of 3 to 5 years? And on a second one, do you see potential to do more M&A this year in terms of, obviously, financing as well as the targets?
Thank you, Anastasia, for your questions. When we say 3 to 5 years on 20%, it's because, as we were saying before, Cedrosa sells to compounding pharmacies, but of course margins are higher, and of course we're going to introduce our brands and innovations. We even start, while we were doing the whole negotiation process, we start selling our genomic test via Cedrosa, so that was a very nice initiative. So you see the potential of the market and the management, right? But we need to bear in mind that 60% approximately of Cedrosa business is into the low mid-size industrial business. So this means that margins there are a bit lower. So therefore, we're a bit cautious on our targeted internal targeting of 20%. But of course, when we can do it earlier, we will do it, of course. So the whole integration plan is in place. We already started, and we will see nice developments there. On the M&A, we have ambitious to have more M&A this year. We are working on that. But of course, as you know, this depends not only on our side, but on the seller side. So if we see more activity, we will see it again in our two main markets, that is the Americas and Europe. And of course, with a cultural and a strategic fit, as we saw today with Cedrosa, that fits perfectly in our business model and of course, culturally. Regarding finance, I think that Karin can elaborate better.
Yeah, so indeed, following the completion of this acquisition, the ratio net debt EBITDA will stay below 3.0. And to add to what Rafa is saying, if we do acquisitions, we of course take into consideration this net debt EBITDA ratio when doing specific acquisitions and the size of certain acquisitions.
Great. And if I may follow up again on Rafa Kamen, can you explain a little bit more the business breakdown of Cedrogo? What is, how much is similar to what Fagron is doing in terms of client base and product range, and how much is in industrial business, and what is the industrial business, and will that stay within the next 5 years?
Sure, Anastasia. If you remember when we have seen each other, our tower, right? Remember that tower that we have with the customers, the products, the drivers, and the trends? In the product side, of course, we have the essentials that we sell to compounding pharmacies, hospitals, but also industries, and this is what we mean by industrial. And on the customer side, we have the industry as a base, so approximately 20% of our global sales come from these industrial customers, so that on the customer side, we have a perfect match, right? On the portfolio side, Pedrosa sells approximately 80% of essential raw materials and 20% of packaging materials, right? And this fits perfectly into our product portfolio. We have analyzed the product portfolio, and 70% of the product portfolio of Pedrosa matches perfectly with the portfolio of Fagron. So as you can see, we have a lot of purchase leverage there. So both customer and product base is a perfect fit for Fagron. What is very interesting is that Pedrosa is very well known into the compounding pharmacy market in Mexico. We estimate that today there are approximately 1,800, 2,000 only compounding pharmacies in Mexico. So this gives, of course, a very big platform for our innovations and our new products that we will launch in Mexico.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next Thank you. Our next question comes from Frank Klassen of the group Petercam. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Frank Klassen, the group Petercam. First of all, question, is Pedrosa, just to be clear, is it on a debt-free basis, the acquisition price, or is there some debt still included in Pedrosa? That's the first question. Then secondly, on the synergy potential, I do, of course, see the cross-selling potential, but on the purchasing costs side, are there also cost synergies to be achieved, and maybe could you quantify these? And then thirdly, how did the Mexican market overall for compounding medicines develop over the last couple of years, and how much, let's say, room to grow do you still see in the Mexican market? Maybe some comments on that, please. Thank you.
Sure. So on the market, Frank, good morning, by the way. On the market side, the Mexican market has developed in the last years, we would say, on a mid to high single-digit growth, the market itself. We see a lot of potential because compounding pharmacies have not a proactive approach into the physicians, right? So as we see in Brazil or in the U.S. or in some country in Europe, that some pharmacies go and visit actively the physicians together with our help. We don't see that in Mexico. So for us, this is a very important point element because we want, of course, to create more prescriptions, to create a bigger market, right? As you know, in Brazil, we started there with 600,000 prescriptions a day. Now it's 1 million prescriptions a day. So we help our customers to create more prescriptions. And of course, we will do this in Mexico. We will do a lot of academies, as you know, in the drivers of our tower. Academies is a very important driver together with innovation. So we're going to organize many seminars, promotions into the doctors so they can know what compounding is, what personalized medicine can benefit. So they will, of course, create a lot of new prescriptions. And regarding the operational side, of course, what we always do is we start with the purchase of the raw materials, right? This is already in place, so we already started the joining purchase, as we call. And what we're going to do as well is to make some of the repacking of the new products that we're going to launch in Mexico. We're going to do this within our Brazilian facility, right? Because, of course, Mexico has a lot of similarities with Brazil. They speak Spanish instead of Portuguese, but and the rest is the same. So we will leverage that one, and of course, we're going to have our entire internal finance, HR, IT leverage there as well. So we are very conscious on the integration. We cannot quantify what we said, 3 to 5 years, 20%, but of course, we will. When we can do it earlier, we will do it earlier. So this is our plan. Maybe Karin on the financial side.
Maybe on the and the deal, it is indeed, Frank, a cash and debt-free basis. The acquisition is done on a cash and debt-free basis.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We will now take the next question from Lenny Van Steenhuyse of KBC Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning. I just had another question on the API portfolio. So you already mentioned that there was quite a lot of overlap between that of Sedorsa and yourself. So do you still see some room to expand their API portfolio with existing Fagron APIs, and how quickly do you anticipate to do this? And as a second question, I was wondering how currency volatility will be managed in Mexico. Is that similar in dynamics compared to Brazil, or can we expect some other peculiarities for the specific market? Thank you.
Thank you, Lenny. Good morning. Regarding the essentials, the raw materials portfolio, Sedorsa has approximately 1,000 items in its portfolio. Of course, we have a 3,000-item portfolio globally. So, of course, all the possibilities to the Sedorsa team will be given as from day one, and we will increase the portfolio very rapidly. How long does this normally take? It takes approximately between 12 and 24 months to get a full portfolio for is one of our entities, right? So this is what we expect, that Sedorsa will have the full Fagron, of course, sellable in the Mexican market portfolio within 12 to 24 months. Karin, if you can comment on that. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe on the second question, Lenny. So if we look at the currencies, so also Sedorsa sources part of his raw material portfolio in dollars, and they can push a part of that into the sales prices towards their customers. So for that, it's a bit similar to the Brazilian model. Currently, there's at this point in time no plans to hedge that. If there's a big exposure on transactions in the future, or if the size is increasing heavily, we can always decide to hedge, but currently that's not the plan.
Okay, thank you very much.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. We will take our next question from Eric Wilmer of ABN AMRO. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. Two remaining questions from my side. Could you perhaps give some more background on the takeover process? So how long have you been in talks with Sedorsa? And secondly, will you keep the Sedorsa brand as an autonomous brand within your portfolio? Thank you.
Thank you, Eric. Good morning. It has taken us 6 months since our first encounter with the Sedorsa and the Stein family, right? So in the last 6 months, we have been working with them into this nice acquisition. And the second question regarding the branding, of course, the first months, we always keep the local brand, right? So Sedorsa will stay the first 6 months into Sedorsa, but, of course, we will change it within 1 year into Fagron Mexico, because this gives a lot of leverage and global exposure to the Sedorsa business and the customers there. So Sedorsa will become Fagron Mexico indeed.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back to your host. Apologies, we do have one more question. Would you like me to put it in the queue?
Yes, please.
The next question of Stuen Demeister of ING. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, good morning. Thank you. So, two clarifications. Did I understand correctly that the market in Mexico was estimated in essential at $150 million? Would that then correspond to a sort of 13% market share for Sedorsa? And secondly, you said that the market was growing at mid to high single-digit rate, but I believe I understood that Sedorsa grew at low single-digit. So is that... Is that the way to interpret it, that Sedorsa grew slower than the market itself?
Thank you, Stein, for your questions. Good morning. Sedorsa grew in approximately the same pace as the market, that is at mid-single digit, right? So this is the last year's growth of Pedrosa that has been totally aligned with the market growth. On the market size, the market of compounding in Mexico, we estimate, of course, we don't have a clear and a fixed data, right? As you know, as in other compounding markets, this is an internal estimation together with external reports. We estimate 150 million U.S. And this is, of course, for the whole compounding chain value, right? So for the whole medication. When we look at the essential, so the ingredient side, this is approximately 20 million U.S. And, of course, when we look at Pedrosa, that approximately 60% is being sold to industries, to small, mid-sized industries, we have approximately 10 to 12 million U.S. on the compounding side. So this gives approximately 50 to 55% of market share into the essential side of the business there. So Pedrosa, we can say that is absolute leader in the Mexican market in the essentials for compounding pharmacies. And, of course, this gives a very nice, a very big platform because all the compounding pharmacies know Pedrosa and will know Fagron Mexico as from day one.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please signal by pressing star one. It appears there are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back to the host for any additional or closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you all for attending this call and for the nice questions. And we wish you a very nice day and see you the next time. Thank you very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.